Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Field Pass. This is Dan, and I have Mikey and John joining me to talk about the disappointing loss. Illinois falls to Rutgers 20-14. Boys, say something nice about Illinois football.
Oh, you know, I mentioned this on our pregame show that, you know, it was going to go one of two ways. I thought we were going to dominate them wire to wire or come out and just get flat out beat. And unfortunately, it was the latter of the two. And, you know, the team that I saw on Saturday, and I'm sure you guys will agree with me, is not the team that we saw one week prior, you know, beating Penn State. And it's just, I don't know. It's just the life of an Illinois fan. You know, you get these super high highs and then the really low lows when you think your team, you know, is capable of doing things that are great back to back to back and really stacking it together. And, you know, it was a letdown. That's for sure.
Yeah. I guess the nice thing I'll say is that we had a lead going into halftime. That's what I guess the nice thing is that I'll say, and the lead came via two passing touchdowns. Yeah, Mikey, kind of build off what you just said there. It feels like, and I know that Bielema was kind of trying to prevent this, but when you're a program like Illinois, it just is one of those where you're prone to those kind of, like, we won that game against Penn State mainly on the backs of our offensive and defensive lines. And yeah, like, that's great. You absolutely dominated a top 10 team. Good job. But you still need to, like, come to practice with the same, like, level of intensity and focus that you had, you know, that week or two prior. And I'm not saying that they necessarily were, you know, lollygagging or being lackadaisical, but maybe they read their press clippings just enough that there was maybe not that attention to detail, or maybe a little bit less focus that then, you know, allows. And Rutgers is obviously going to be keying. That's the other thing too, is that, like, you need almost more intensity at that point, because Rutgers is knowing that they're going to, you know, have to prevent the run, and that they're going to probably try and establish something up front when they're on offense. So it's one of those where I was very disappointed that, you know, they couldn't keep that mo rolling. But at the same time, like, that game was just there to be had. Like, that was the really unfortunate thing, is that, like, I sitting there never felt like, oh wow, like, we're done, like, we're out of this. Because of the fact we had seen the passing offense be competent in the first half, I was like, well, we might be able to, like, pull something out if we need it. But at the same time, then you're kind of also waiting for the other shoe to drop in terms of the run game eventually getting going, and it just never happened. And that's, I think, the most disappointing thing is, you know, the fact that we didn't score a freaking point in the second half. Like, you're not, I don't know how many ball games have been won where that happens, but if you're a program like Illinois, you're not going to, you're probably 0-for if you do that.
I want to read the second half drive summaries.
Yeah, read them off.
6 plays, 14 yards, punt. 3 plays, 2 yards, punt. 3 plays, -8 yards, punt. 3 plays, 1 yard, punt. 8 plays, 37 yards, turnover on downs. That's not going to win you a whole lot of ball games.
No, it's not. And you know, I feel bad for our defense. You know, yeah, they let up 20 points, which, you know, it's not horrible, but it's also not great. But, you know, we could not put any drives together. You know, I felt like the whole first quarter, especially, it just felt like Rutgers was on the field the entire time, and our offense was providing no help to our defense. And, you know, it's frustrating. You know, you have an experienced offensive line, you have a sixth-year quarterback, you know, you have guys that have, you know, performed well in big games before, and it's not there. You know, just flat out is not there. It is, you know, I know there's a million things that go on behind the scenes, you know, stuff off the field that, you know, we don't know about, you know, within the whole program, coaches, you know, down to training staff. And, you know, but in my opinion, you know, there needs to be adjustments. There needs to be a change, because this is just, it's unacceptable.
Yeah. Frustrating is definitely the perfect word, Mikey, because that's just one of those where you had such a competent looking end to the first half that it looked like they had realized, okay, we understand that we're not going to be able to just do what we did against Penn State. We can't just barge package everything and run it down their throats. And it looked like they were kind of learning that. But then when you come out and you're still, it almost gave them the flexibility to think that, okay, now we can go, now we've got ourselves a little bit of a cushion and we know that we can pass the ball if we need to. Let's just start trying to establish the run early and often. And then of course, you know, then Danny, like you just read off, it was one of those where drives are getting stalled way too early. And yeah, of course your defense is going to give up a ton of yards rushing if they're on the field for as long as they are, and drives are going as long as they are for Rutgers and as short as they are for U of I. It's one of those where I've had no qualms with the defense since the Virginia game. Like they have been playing very, like if you are watching that game, you are happy with the performance that they're putting on and they're giving you a winning performance. You just need the offense and the people who are managing the offense to take care of their own business. And that's one of those where we can kind of get into it in terms of like the late game management, but I necessarily didn't have an issue with the fourth and short call, the fourth and one call. I was more upset at the fact that they let freaking 30 plus seconds go off the clock and had Rutgers call a timeout. Like you either need to have something in the chamber quickly or you call timeout quickly so then you can figure something out. Cause then it was just one of those where, yeah, you could say maybe in an alternate universe that if we call timeout, maybe they call the same play, but you don't really know the chess match that's going on at that point. So it's one of those where I was ultimately very frustrated by that, but it wasn't as devastating, I would say, as the Maryland or Purdue losses. I don't know what your guys' takes are on that.
Yeah, the final drive obviously gets a lot of attention. The fourth and one that was maybe a fourth and two seems to be the what Brett Bielema was leaning on in his press conference when he was discussing it. He said they were going to run a QB sneak, but once the ball got pushed back the extra yard, they were second guessing it, and that's why they, you know, didn't get up there and run that play right away. I would counter with you have to call a timeout then at that point and not let those 30 seconds run off and make that decision quickly. So I don't love that excuse. I thought for sure they would just get up immediately, run that, you know, QB sneak and keep the drive moving, keep those three timeouts in pocket and, you know, have a minute 40 left to try to drive down and get that touchdown to end the game. But they let that time run off. And like you said, the fourth and one, fourth and two outside play to Chase Brown, I have no issues with that at all. You know, knowing that we ran the ball up the middle, we've been power running at Penn State, that was on film. The QB sneak was on film. So as soon as you call the timeout, you know the defense and the coaching staff's going to go tell them, hey, probably a QB sneak or some sort of power run up the middle. Like, let's sell out and try to end this game right now. So I have no issues trying, you know, to stretch it and Chase Brown gets tripped up on a play where, you know, run that same play 10 times in that one-on-one matchup. You know, I take that shot with Chase Brown, how he's been playing. So, like you said, I have no issues with that play. It's really the time management and not having that play in the chamber. So you got to call the timeout immediately.
Yeah, I agree with everything you guys just said. When they ran that play, I was watching the game with my dad. And the first thing I said was, you know, I love the play call. Unfortunately, Rutgers DB made an incredible play. You know, we're getting the ball in space to our best player on our team. And that guy just, you know, made a heck of a play and a game winning play that, you know, Dan, like you mentioned, you know, nine out of 10 times, you know, Chase is going to win that battle. And unfortunately, you know, we got the one of those. You got to call a timeout there. You got to be smarter. And, it feels like this, we're getting very repetitive in some of the remarks that we're making. And it's sad as a fan, you know, it's sad for the program and, you know, hopefully, we'll go out this weekend and, you know, shut people like us up and go out and get a win.
I was just going to add to that, the fourth and short decisions, there's now been how many of them this year? Is that the fourth and short? At least three of them where,
Terms of significant ones, they've had probably a half dozen. You know, some of them have gone through, like we were talking about with the Josh McCray run a couple weeks ago. It's one of those where they've been better, obviously, since the faux pas at Maryland and Purdue. But still, yeah, this is one of those where you don't want to be getting in that situation. What I was going to say, the thing that I'm most frustrated about, if you are going to be that disrespectful of the clock, like I had a very tough time. And maybe this is like the PTSD of being a Packers fan last year and Matt LaFleur having absolutely no respect for the fact that like it was a two possession ball game with 6 minutes left in the game. And I'm just thinking like, we have only a couple minutes to drive the entirety of the field. Like we need a touchdown. You can't just be like lopping half minutes off the clock with absolutely no care in the world. But if you're going to do that, then you might as well put the personnel out there that's going to be most likely to succeed. And having Jakari Norwood was doing well on that last drive, but having him in as your third and short back, like even giving Reggie Love some tick. Like I understand that Josh McCray might not have been 100%. Chase Brown had been, you know, the workhorse for most of the game. But for you to be, like I said, that disrespectful of the clock, at least make it useful in some sense and get a guy out there. Like if you're going to burn that much time off and you're going to have, you know, a minute left once you get that first down, then make sure that you at least get that first down and get the right personnel in there. That was the thing that I was most frustrated with. I very much so cared about the fourth and one. Like that was heartbreaking, but I was still just so pissed about the fact that the third and two call was an inside handoff to Jakari Norwood. Like what are we doing there? I couldn't understand that for the life of me.
Yeah, might as well, instead of taking 30 seconds off, I mean, you could, if you're going to take 30 seconds off, you have enough time to put in your ace running back and your power running back, make sure you get that those extra yards, like you said. That's, I think, the timing of the missed spot obviously threw a wrench in your plan, but you got to make a decision, even if it's 10 seconds. You can't take 30 full seconds to make that call.
Exactly.
You got to have someone in your ear telling you, like, either call the timeout or get the personnel out there, so... I agree with you. That was just a gross mismanagement of the time down the stretch there in that game. The other thing I'll add too is the, you know, with the fourth and short decisions this year, like we said, you know, previous podcasts, we don't expect Illinois to get every single fourth and short. It's not like we're gonna, you know, run over the defense in every single situation on a fourth and one, fourth and two. But, you know, had we run those plays, you know, early in the season, the other two games, maybe you get one or two and you get one or two wins out of it. So we don't think Illinois is going undefeated in all these late game situations. You know, in an alternate universe, maybe you get lucky and do that. But for the most part, what do you think the conversion percentage would be if you go for it on fourth and one, fourth and two? Even if it's, you know, a coin flip, you come out with another win or two in the Big Ten. So those are significant games. They're going to end up, you know, kind of being throwaways in the record book. But, you know, when you're building a program, those are important to try to get those wins and establish confidence and you get the players buying into that. So as much as it, you know, gets kind of thrown away at the end of the season when Illinois likely won't make a bowl, everyone will kind of forget about it. They'll look back at this record. But in terms of building a program, I think they have a lot more significance than that.
Yeah, I think, you know, building a program, you know, when you've had so many losing seasons in a row, you know, I hate to continually harp on these, you know, fourth and short situations, but, you know, in my opinion, it's like, what do you have to lose? You know, like, go for it, show some guts, you know, rally the guys. And yeah, you know, maybe, and like you both have mentioned, you know, we're not going to get them all. You know, we're not that optimistic about this team. You know, the reality of it is, you know, maybe we convert 50%, but, you know, that's a percentage chance that I'm willing to take. And I'm sure 95% of, you know, the Illini fan base is willing to take if, you know, that means we're going to add another one or two wins to our, you know, overall record and potentially get us to a bowl game. And that just stuff all just compounds and into the next years. And that's what it takes to build a program. So, you know, we'll see what the guys will do this weekend. And hopefully it doesn't come down to any fourth and short decisions. Hopefully we just run Minnesota right off the field. But if it does, you know, let's definitely be aggressive as we can be, because especially at this point in the season, we really have nothing to lose.
It's almost like the most unfortunate outcome for folks like us who want them to go for those fourth and shorts, because like their hand was forced in that scenario. It's like you're down six, you have less than 2 minutes left, you obviously have to go for it on fourth and one or fourth and a long one. But it's one of those where, oh yeah, they don't get it, and in all the other scenarios where they, you know, punted it instead, it's like, well, maybe we wouldn't have gotten in the other ones. It's just like, I don't think that the coaching staff is actually that pig-headed. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they are. We'll see over the course of the long run of this tenure. But at the same time, it's one of those where it's like, that kind of sucks that we didn't get that, because in a spot where their hand was forced and like they had to go for it on the fourth and one, then they didn't get it. That kind of sucks, because that's like the ammo that they might need in future years. That's because that's like, you guys have just been touching on it. Like it's not so much the significance of one game. Yes, it sucks. Like you want those guys to go out there and get a win, but it sucks because yeah, it might give them some kind of like, anecdotal evidence that they can then look to in future years where they say, okay, well, you know, that one time against Rutgers where our top 10 or our top Big Ten running back didn't get a yard. It's like, we're not going to go for it on fourth and one from, you know, their 45. It's just like, it sucks. But I mean, I'm hoping that they, you know, still obviously learn from it. I'm hoping that the offense progresses enough that we don't have to be in these situations all the time. Cause it sucks that, you know, a fair percentage of our games are coming down to these kind of decisions, but alas, it's just very frustrating, sad, unfortunate. Cause that's a game that was right there. I mean, like I said, I didn't ever feel like it was really not there to be had, but it just sucks that then like you look up and how do we not at least like threaten a little bit there? And it just sucks.
Yeah. Rutgers did make some good plays. I mean, that one-handed catch along the sideline to bail him out was a
the
big
dude coming play. In on the fourth and four,
the
five
freshman
or fourth
QB
and
coming
yeah,
in
exactly.
on the fourth and yeah, fourth
thrown
and five.
Across his body.
Like they made some good plays. Their defense obviously, you know, did a good job to kind of stifle the Illinois running attack this week. So, you know, they deserve their bit of credit, but you know, the Illinois offense in the second half did their fair share to not get it the yards they needed, score any points. So, you know, I think there's a bit of both. Rutgers played a good game. You know, we're managed well. Greg Schiano did a good job with his game planning. And then, you know, Illinois didn't really execute like they should. But Brandon Peters, you know, slight bit of a bright spot. Coming back in after being out the past few games, filling in for Art Sitkowski, and he, you know, was throwing the ball around pretty effectively, I thought. So that was a bright spot. Mikey's pick of the week, Isaiah Williams. Took the top off the defense one time to the tune of a nice little touchdown. So there were a couple, you know, things to build on in the game. My question to you guys is, you know, at this point in the season, though, is that something you continue to ride someone like Brandon Peters and these seniors? Or is this the point in the season now moving forward where you start working in more of those freshmen and getting some new guys experience if it's not looking like a bowl is in the cards?
I would... you know, definitely start working in some of those freshmen. You know, I wouldn't do a complete turnover like we did in 2017 because that's a good way to lose the locker room. But I would start getting some of those younger guys some ticks, some guys that'll be there for the next 3 to 4 years, get them some action, you know, put them on film. But don't completely remove the guys that, you know, have been there for the last 6 years. You know, trying to build something, the guys that are doing well, but, you know, definitely have a shorter leash on the older guys. And if they're not performing or, you know, they make mistakes, then, you know, it's time to move on to the next guy.
Yeah. I think you can have a shorter leash. I think you still want to obviously go out there and win as many games as you can, because you can sell those in recruiting and the like. So I would probably like for them to continue riding BP. That's just because, like, I don't necessarily know, like, what you're going to get out of, you know, Ryan. Like, is he really going to be a Big Ten starting quarterback? Like, is Matt Robinson? I feel like we kind of know what the jury's verdict is on that. Samari Kalye, maybe that's a guy that you get some run. But at the same time, like, he's a true freshman. And I'm pretty sure, actually, I know that he wasn't dressed for the Wisconsin game when we were on the sidelines. He was walking around in street clothes. So I don't know if he's got, like, some kind of injury or something like that. But it's still one of those where who knows where he's at with his development. And you don't just want to, you know, thrust him to the wolves because, you know, you want to get a true freshman some playing time. It still comes down to where he's at in his development. So I think for the most important position on the field, you don't want to, I mean, for a position that's shown as much incompetence as it has this year, you don't want to show even more incompetence. Because then, like, even for something like a transfer quarterback, if they're looking at that and they're like, oh yeah, like this team can obviously run the ball. It's kind of like the fear, at least, that I have with wide receiver recruiting. In any sense, portal, prep, whatever. It's like, yeah, this offense is going to be mainly run heavy and, you know, using everything inside the hashes. So tight ends will probably want to come here. You might get some good skill position players in terms of running backs, but I don't really know about wide receivers. Then you can take that if you're trying to sell a transfer portal quarterback and you're saying like, oh yeah, like, yeah, you would get all this playing time, but look at how bad this offense is performing. I don't know if I necessarily want that. So I want to put out as like great an audition tape as you can for, you know, the program and the offense moving forward.
We did get Isaiah Williams at QB for one play. We said Bielema might have some tricks up his sleeve. Only one play worth, but I was laughing when I saw him out there at QB for a play.
yeah, BP with the bloody hand, just like still fighting through for that QB sneak was awesome. And then, yeah, he was probably like, I can't throw a football, so let's try and mix it up. Or like, then the coaches determined like, well, we got this one play with Isaiah, might as well go with it. So that was nice to see. But yeah, I don't know if we're going to get, I think the Isaiah and Deuce span trains have left the station in terms of them coming back to playing quarterback.
Yep. So we got three matchups left in the Big Ten slate here. We have Minnesota, then we have Iowa, and then we have Northwestern. Minnesota at Minnesota this week, 11 o'clock, national TV, ESPN2. Last time we played on an ESPN family of networks, we ended in 9 overtime. So maybe we'll get a repeat upset upcoming this week. But we'll leave it at that. Thank you guys for listening to this episode. You can follow us on social media. You know, we're at The Field Pass on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. Appreciate everyone for the support, and go Illini.